Hello, and welcome back to Red Cup News, hashtag RCN, hashtag okay, where we give you the news and drink beer. Today I've got my handy-dandy trust-wusty Vaporoni, V-God. Let's take a hit of this, see how it's hidden for this episode. Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good. So we're back. This episode, you know, we've done the politics thing, the entertainment thing, kind of a loose structure thing. This episode, we are going to go into tech. What's new in tech? What people want? What consumers are buying? Just, you know, tech in general. So with that, I'm going to hop right into it. It's kind of a big deal. Seen a lot of people, heard a lot of people talk about this. Uber has a grand plan for flying cars before the coming Olympics. And they're planning on these flying cars to be used as taxis. So, obviously, that seems crazy. But Wednesday morning, the Web Summit conference, Chief Product Officer Jeff Holden outlined the firm's plans to take commuters across major cities in electric-powered air taxis by 2020, starting in Los Angeles. But it plans to have 4-passenger vertical takeoff and landing aircraft zip above skyscraper face a major obstacle that Holden brushed off during that 25-minute presentation. Uber is calling this their Elevate project, and Uber is banking on a major re-engineering of the air traffic control system. Obviously, the current one isn't geared to handle flying taxi cabs that Uber is envisioning. So Holden said that we need to handle a lot more air traffic flying over cities than has ever been done before. We need a foundational reboot of the air traffic system. And Uber plans to do that by putting its Uber Air operations into an existing NASA project to open up the nation's airspace to drone traffic called UTM, or Unmanned Air Traffic System Traffic Management. But UTM is still far from completion, and Uber's piloted vehicles will be far larger and heavier than any drone. Pretty much this is what one of the lead longtime aviation analysts is saying. Good luck with that. So it sounds like it's not going to be easy. It's not even really a problem. This has never been done before. So it's not really a helicopter. It's not really an airplane. It's not a drone. It's something that's entirely new that people have been dreaming up for, you know, pretty much whenever cars came out. People were probably like, wouldn't it be cool if this thing could fly? You know, it's not enough that it can drive around at 100 miles per hour. It's got to fly for people to be impressed. Everything's got to fly now. You know, you have like a skateboard. It wasn't cool enough, the hoverboard. That one doesn't even hover. You know, the name's got to have flying or hovering or soaring or gliding or something. But I hope they could pull it off. I mean, if they can, I guess that would be the beginning and end of traditional cars. So, you know, Tesla's fighting so hard for this electric car movement, and it would seem that they would just get leapfrogged right away, where like nobody is even worried about combustion engines or batteries. It's just like, let's get flying. So, moving on in tech, this is a video game piece. There's a new Xbox coming out, the Microsoft Xbox One X. It's supposed to be coming out very, very soon, but there's only one problem with it. It's $500, which is traditionally a little high for it's for a console. The other thing is that it's going to be all 4K, so you need to buy a new TV unless your TV is already able to display in 4K, and a nice 4K TV will cost you at least $500. So far, you're in the hole about $1,000. New TV, new console. Fortunately, the controllers will be the same. The cables, cords, everything's the same. You can still play your old Xbox One games on there. So $1,000 gets you, you know, hitting the floor running. But at the same time, it is $1,000. So what's so good about the Xbox One X? It's 30% faster. And its graphics chip is 4.6 times more powerful than its predecessor, the original Xbox One. That's kind of Microsoft's thing right now. The reason why a lot of people think that PlayStation kind of blew past the Xbox One is that the PlayStation was just, you know, it had more raw power straight out of the box. So that's what people want with cars, phones, laptops, and now video game consoles. Like I said, originally their Xbox One cost $500. This is the Xbox One X for $500. So I guess that's good that they didn't raise the price. The PS4 came out the same time as the original Xbox One in 2013, was $100 less. So, I mean, Xbox and Microsoft really has to see what PlayStation's doing, what Sony's doing with PlayStation. Because last time, they took them head-to-head, and people were unwilling to buy the more expensive console. Especially when they almost get the same exact games. But right now, Microsoft is actually doing better. In its first quarter earnings for its projected 2018, it's reporting that service revenue will be up 21%. But hardware sales, however, took a hit due to decrease in console pricing. Earlier in the last episode, I think that... Yeah, it was the last episode I said that you can get an Xbox One X on... Xbox One S for Black Friday for $180. Normally it retails for $250, and that's still a pretty good price. So they definitely cut their margins on that. They're not making as much money, and that's going to reflect in the quarterly. Another thing that Xbox is doing right now is it's slimmer. The console is slimmer. It's more powerful. It's more powerful. It's quieter. It's cooled more efficiently. And a big problem people were having with the original Xbox Ones is that it would heat up, and then your console would be rendered useless. You'd have to go through Microsoft, call them, mail them warranty requests, mail them your console. It was just like the biggest bust when you're just trying to play a little bit of Madden, right? Biggest thing about the Xbox One X, 4K HDR gaming at 60 frames per second. A lot of people don't know that PC gamers have been doing this for a while now. The other big negative is that the Xbox One X isn't coming out with like that one game that everybody is going to want to like kill themselves to buy. They're really, really banking on the fact that people are willingly gonna line up for this console due to all the firepower in there. So we'll see how it goes. Should be cool. I mean, it's expensive, but people have paid more for less, I believe. Let's keep on moving. This next article has a pretty interesting headline. Inside the Amazon company that's even bigger than Amazon.com. So everybody knows what the cloud is. It's like, is it a cloud? Is it water vapor? Is it moisture? What is it? It stores my pictures and, you know, people hack it, I guess. But what is the cloud? Who runs it? The biggest cloud right now is being run by Amazon. Over the last decade, Amazon has quietly built up the world's largest cloud services company called AWS, or Amazon Web Services. In terms of income and profit, it's much bigger than Amazon.com. And that's actually the division where you buy things and they mail it to you, Amazon Prime, stuff like that. It's way, way bigger than its rival. It's bigger than Microsoft, bigger than Google, bigger than IBM. It's about 14 times bigger than those companies. So it's really ahead of the game right now. It's leagues ahead. Most companies don't like to reveal what cloud services they use, but here are a few companies that don't mind that they're running off of Amazon's web services. Get ready for this list. It's crazy. Hulu, Netflix, Comcast, Spotify, Pinterest, Yelp, Airbnb. So all those are currently using Amazon's web services. I'm going to read just the big ones. The Dow Jones is using Amazon. Zillow, Under Armour, Kellogg's, Expedia, Adobe, Philips, General Electric, Shell, BMW, Capital One, Johnson & Johnson, Lamborghini, Lyft, McDonald's, NASA, Pfizer, Philips, Samsung, Sony, SoundCloud, Ticketmaster, and this was like the biggest shocker to me, the U.S. Department of State, the United States Department of State, uses Amazon's cloud services. The Amen Clinic uses Amazon's web services. So it's huge. I mean, it makes more money than Amazon.com. I mean, if you could believe, I thought that was really their cash cow, but apparently that's your pocket change. That's what they don't care about. This company is making so much. I don't know what our school, I mean Chapman University, uses for their web storage. Could be Google. I feel like it's Google. You know, all our emails are through Google. That would make sense. But Amazon is clearly killing it. I guess if Google could really corner the student market, and that'll just make everybody used to Google by the time they graduate, get into the workforce, they're going to be looking for Google. So that's my take on it this week on Red Cup News. This week we didn't drink any beer, so Red Cup News. We bring you the news, and we vape.